It's a wonderful thing to be here tonight. Thank you, Brother Steve, for allowing me this privilege. And I love this church. I admire this church as much as I admire any church in the country. Your faithfulness, just staying with things. And we pray for you often. In fact, we pray for you many times a week at our church. Pray for your church. Pray for Pastor Esposito and the family. And we do love you guys. And want to do whatever we can to try to help you. But it is my second time to preach here. 1994, I preached in a building to a lot of young people were in that meeting. And I was praying about when he called me a couple of days ago and asked me if I'd preach. And the Holy Spirit seemed to lead me back to this same verse I preached on all those years ago. And so I dusted those notes up. But I want to give you my life verse today, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13 in your Bibles. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13 in your Bibles. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. It's about the fellow that his wife was moody. Is that all of them that are married? But his wife was so moody, and he said, "Honey," he said, "I've got an idea." He said, "I'd like to get you a mood ring." He said, "So if you'd wear this mood ring, at least I'd have a warning. You know, I'd have a heads up when you're in a bad mood." And somehow he convinced his wife to wear this thing. And wouldn't you believe it? It worked. Because every time she was in a good mood, it turned green. And every time she was in a bad mood, it left red welts on his forehead. And but he could figure it out pretty quick that way. A good idea for us that are married. Now, marriage is a wonderful thing. And I'm so grateful for my wife. God has been so good to me. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. You can read along silently. I read it out loud. "I can do most things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Is that what it says? No, let's try it again. "I can do some things through Christ which strengtheneth me." No, sir. It says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And I know the context of this verse. But I also know what the Bible teaches, that whatever God's will is for our life, we can do it through Christ. We can make it through Christ. It pretty much covers everything. And you might say to me tonight, "Well, preacher, what about this?" No, the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I learned a truth about this verse some years ago. The key to this verse is the word try. T-R-Y, try. And I want to try to convince you tonight to unlock the power of this verse, "I can do all things through Christ," by simply putting forth some effort and trying. Yes. And I don't care what you're facing, you can face it through Christ. And what burden you may have, what you may be looking at as obstacles in your way, how many duties you may have, you can do it through Christ. The problem is we don't turn the key to unlock the power of this verse. We never see the blessings because we don't try. We never see the blessings because we don't step out in faith and put forth an effort. I read a poem some years ago. It goes like this. "Two frogs fell in a can of cream," or so I've heard it told. "The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use?" croaked number one. "'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friends. Goodbye, sad world." And weeping still, he drowned. But number two, of sterner stuff, dog paddled in surprise. And while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes, "I'll swim a while at least," he said, "or so I've heard," he said. "It really won't help the world at all if one more frog were dead." An hour or two, he kicked and swam. Not once he stopped to mutter. He kicked and kicked and swam and kicked and then hopped out of the butter. Now, some of you have heard that before, but you know the difference between frog number one and frog number two? There's only one difference. One of them decided, "I want to try. I don't know if I can get out of this thing alive or not, but I can try. I'm not going to sit here and die. I'm going to at least make an effort. I'm going to try. I'm going to do something." The difference was that one of them tried. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight, friend. Are you trying? Listen, you could make your marriage a good one if you'd try. If you'd step out in faith and do what you can do, trusting God to do the rest. None of us can do what needs to be done, but we can do what we can do in faith, trusting that God is going to work in our situation and give us what we need. But listen, you could rear godly children if you'd try. Listen, you could make a difference in this area. You could fill a bus up. You could see somebody saved if you try. Now, I want to try to convince you to try tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless now in our service tonight. Help me as I give this truth. I want to be a help and a blessing. That's all I want. Father, I pray that you give me clarity of thought and mind. Help us, Lord, to have your Holy Spirit meet with us in a special way to encourage us and challenge us and strengthen us. Make us better Christians. Make us more like Christ because we've come. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This truth of making effort is found throughout the Bible. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Flip over there with me real quick. Matthew chapter 12. And look at a couple of passages here tonight. Matthew chapter number 12. And we'll begin reading in verse number 19. Matthew chapter 12. And verse number 9. Verse number 9. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 9. Have you found it? Say amen. All right. Did you find it? Matthew 12, 9. And when he was departed thence, he went to their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it's lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Notice verse 13. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Now I want you to notice something here. Jesus meets a man here with a withered hand. He's got one hand that's normal. He's able to work and function with. The other hand is withered. And you can imagine when Jesus says to this man, stretch forth thy hand, it might have been uncomfortable. It might have been embarrassing for this fellow to do it. But you know what he did? He did it. He stretched forth his hand. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying, try. Jesus was saying, take a step of faith. I know you can't heal your hand, but you've got to stretch forth your hand. Hey, you take a step and you stretch forth your hand. Jesus said, I'll heal. You know what Jesus is waiting on for us to do tonight? He's waiting for some of us to try. You know, you could see somebody saved if you try. Oh, you say, but preacher, I'm scared to death. Boy, I'm scared to knock on a door and go with maybe even to be in a silent partner, go with a gospel tract, take a New Testament somewhere. Hey, you could do it if you'd try. My dad always said he didn't know what to say the first time he went soul winning, but he felt like he'd make it an effort anyway. And he said if he stood there, somebody answered the door, and he just went like that for a little bit, and he'd be embarrassed enough to figure out what to say before he went to the next door. Listen, you know what you got to do if you're going to be a soul winner? You got to try. You've got to try. Listen, Jesus can do the work if you'll put forth your hand and try. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, but first I must do. Somebody's got to try. Oh, you say, but preacher, I'm not very gifted to this. I can't do this or that. Hey, you can try. I can't preach a sermon. Listen, I don't know if I can preach a sermon or not, but I can try. Listen, I can make an effort. I can't change somebody's heart. I'm not the Holy Spirit of God. I can't cause a truth to be able to find its way into somebody's heart. Listen, I'll tell you what I can do. I can pray, and I can study, and I can work, and I can make an effort, and I can try. Hey, listen, I can't change somebody's heart. Only he can do that, but he needs somebody to try. Somebody's got to step out and try. Somebody's got to take that step of faith and try. Hey, why don't you try? Oh, you say, but boy, I'm just sort of crippled. Why don't you try? Why don't you stretch forth your hand and try? Oh, you say, but I can't fill a bus. We got these new buses that are coming in. Thank God for that. I love the bus ministry. Oh, you say, preacher, I can't fill a bus. Why don't you try? Oh, you say, but I can't keep this schedule. Why don't you try? I can't reach this goal. Why don't you try? Somebody's got to try. Some of you fellas say, I can't get her to like me. Well, just forget it. And no, it's no use trying on that one. No, I tell you what you got to do. You got to try. Stretch forth your hand and try. Listen, if God created the world and everything we see with the words of his mouth, he can help you get a date, fellas. God can guide and direct in your life. God can help you with boldness to be able to witness for him. God can help you to influence that teenager whose heart seems to be hardened. God can help you, mom and dad, to reach the heart of that young one who's drifting away. But listen, too many parents have packed it in, say, well, it's no use. I can't do anything. Why don't you try? Why don't you take a step of faith? Hey, why don't you get the Bible out and begin to read it? Why don't you begin to pray and fast if you need to fast and pray and get involved in church and see some counsel where you need to. Somebody's got to try. Why don't you try? Why don't you just say, well, I'm going to try? The problem is we don't try. That's the problem. The problem is, listen, we want God to work, but we don't want to do our part. We don't want to put forth any effort. Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. And when he stretched forth his hand, guess what? It was healed like as the other. When my kids were little, sometimes they'd say, Daddy, I want you to read me a book. We used to read a lot of books in our house. Remember what those are? Books are like, they're kind of hard on the outside, and they have pages. They're like on the inside. My kids used to want me to read them a book. And they say, Daddy, read me a book. And I say, well, go get one. You know, go get Curious George or something and bring it back in. It's great books of the faith, and we'll read it together. I tell you what they do sometimes, Brother Steve. My children would take about 3 steps toward their bedroom. They wouldn't even go in the bedroom. They'd look down the hallway and say, Daddy, I can't find it. I'd say, look, you didn't even go look. Go look and see if you can find a book. After I'd hear them in there for a little while, banging around, knocking something over. Listen, I'd go in there and help them find a book if they could. But you know what I was waiting for them? I was waiting for them to make an effort. I was waiting for them to try. I wonder who God's waiting on. I wonder if he's waiting on some of us to step out and try and make an effort. Look at John chapter 5 real quick. John chapter 5, if you would. John chapter 5 in your Bible. You say, how many of these are we going to look at? We're going to keep looking at them until you look like you're going to try. John chapter 5. Somebody says, no, not that. John chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, of halt, of withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had been now a long time in that place, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him and said, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming. Look at those words. While I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Can you see this man at this pool for 38 years? All by himself, he had nobody to help him. Imagine this man crawling to the pool each and every time the water was stirred and doing his best. He was making an effort. And Jesus came and he found this man here by the pool. And while he said, while I am coming, another one beats me there. And Jesus healed him. He was made whole. And he went home on his own power that day and perfectly healed and whole. You know why? Because for 38 years he had been trying. That's why. You know what he'd been doing for 38 years? He'd been making an effort. He never got there on his own first. What if this guy decided, well, forget about this, and went home to his darkened apartment somewhere? What if he just said, boy, it's hopeless and woe is me and I can't do it and I'll never be the first one in? I don't know that he would have ever met the Lord Jesus Christ. This fellow said, I can't walk like everybody else can, so I'll crawl. I can't get there as fast as everybody else can, but I can make an effort. I don't have help maybe like others do, but he crawled and he tried and Jesus healed him. You say, but God doesn't bless me like so-and-so. Hey, why don't you try? While I am coming, another steppeth down before me. You say, well, I just don't have the charisma that he has. I just don't have the singing voice that she has. Hey, listen, why don't you try? Why don't you make an effort? God help us. Listen, God will do something in your life if you'll try. So I just don't have the talent that they have. God never needed talent. Listen, God doesn't need our charisma. He said, but I just don't have hair like he has. Yeah, look at Brother Steve. And that's right. You could try. Oh, you say, I don't have the experience that they have. Why don't you try? Don't you quit making excuses. Listen, this fellow has been working for 38 years. Some of us don't last for 38 days. I tell you what, it was hard. When I was young, I used to do something, and I'd give my dad that excuse. Dad, it's hard. My dad would always say, well, do something hard then, son. Well, I tell you what, I went out knocking on doors and somebody didn't want me to bother them in the evening on Tuesday night. They slammed the door in my face. Well, welcome to the club.
Is there anybody that has there anybody here tonight that has been in an experienced soul winner? You've been a soul winner that's been consistent, hasn't had that happen? Sometimes I get the door slammed in my face over and over and over again. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep on trying. We don't last 38 days. Some of you don't even last 38 hours. Well, I was going to go to Bible college, but I found out when I went to Bible college, I had to study and do all this homework, and they had tests, and I had to pay the bill, and they really meant it. I had to get my bill paid, and I had to go for it. Listen, why don't you try? Why don't you try? We don't even last 38 minutes. Well, I tell you, why don't you try? Somebody's got to try. You say, well, I'm in a hard area. Why don't you try? Well, you say, preacher, I just don't have I don't have what this guy has over here. I can't do this or that. Somebody's got to try. You can do all things through Christ, but first you must do. Look at Matthew chapter 14 real quickly. Look back at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I could show you many, many of these passages. Matthew chapter 14, familiar story. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse number 28. And let's start back at verse 25. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered in verse 28 and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Verse 29, he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You see that? The Bible says here that the apostle Peter walked on top of the water to go. I know we criticize Peter. Oh, he looked around at the waves and the wind, and his faith wavered, and he began to sink, and he had to cry out, Lord, save me, and the Lord saved. Listen, he walked a lot further on the water than I ever have. As far as I know, there's only two people members of the water walking club. One is Jesus, the other's Peter. Hey, that's pretty good company. Now listen to me. This is really deep, all right? Think with me. There's only one reason why Peter walked on the water and the other disciples didn't walk on the water. There's only one reason. Listen, the other disciples were in the boat too. The other disciples, they were there in the middle of the storm. They saw Jesus as well. Hey, you know why Peter walked on the water and the other ones didn't? Because Peter got out of the boat. That's why. Peter said, here goes nothing, fellas. I need the Lord to save me. And here goes nothing. Listen, I'm sure they might have been saying, boy, that's not possible. I mean, I went to a science class, and they showed me that can't support you that way. Old Peter said, here goes nothing, fellas. He gave it a try. Why don't you get out of the boat? Why don't you decide to step out? Oh, Peter said, I'm going to try. Oh, you said, but nobody's ever done it before. Why don't you try? You said, but nobody in my family has ever graduated from Bible college. Why don't you do it? But nobody in my family is consistently in church. And our family and the marriages just don't stay together. Hey, why don't you do it? Why don't you try? Somebody's got to try. I can do all things through Christ, but first I must do. The key to unlocking that verse is I've got to try. Somebody's got to step out in faith and try. Why don't you try? Oh, you say, but it seems impossible. Try. Acts chapter 3. Look there if you would real quickly. Acts chapter 3. Some of you still looking like you're doubting me here a little bit, doubting the Word of God. Acts chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. And they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This man here had to make effort. When he began to rise, and he had some assistance there from Peter and John, but the Bible says when he began to rise, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Listen, God will make you walk, but you got to rise.
God can do a work in your life, but you're going to have to step out in faith. Hey, why don't you try? Listen, you could pass your classes if you try. All your teachers got it out for me. Why don't you quit making excuses and start working? Why don't you try? Quit looking for reasons why you can't do it. Listen, you can make your marriage work. Hey, you can see your loved ones saved. You can read your Bible through. Yes, you can. You ought to spend time in God's Word every day. Oh, you say, but I've never done that before. Why don't you try? Won't you try? Why don't you get your Bible out tomorrow and open it up and begin to read the Bible? Listen, you could be a person of prayer, a successful person of prayer, if you try. Why don't you try? You could be filled with the Holy Spirit of God if you try. Yes, sir. Somebody's got to try. I want to make four statements. We'll shut her down and be done. If you're going to try, there are four things you got to do. Number one, you got to tell yourself you can. Yes. Tell yourself you can. You can what? You can try. You can try. Listen, you can win people to Christ. You can walk with God. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Don't be defeated. Don't get discouraged. Tell yourself you can. Go home and look in the mirror. It'll be scary at first. But go home and look in the mirror and tell yourself, I can. I can. I can try. I can try. I can try. I can make an effort. I can show up on Tuesday night. I can be faithful to church. Somebody's got to try. Don't get discouraged. Of the story of the farmer had an old mule, and we'll call her Della. We don't have any ladies named Della here tonight, do we? And he had done 30 crops with this mule, and one day this mule was out walking across the field, and there was a dry well there, some old boards that were laying across that dry well, got sun rotted out there, dry rotted in the sun. Della walked on those boards and broke through and fell down into that well. That farmer was heartbroken. Well, he wasn't heartbroken yet. He couldn't find it. He was wondering where the mule went, and he went out looking around. Sure enough, he looked down that dry well, heard her making that noise down there, and sure enough, big old eyes looking up at him out of that dry well. He didn't know what to do. He didn't have any equipment to get that mule out. Went back to the barn, got him a shovel, came back to that hole, picked up a shovel full of dirt. Tear began to come to his eye. Threw it down there on top of Dell. He's going to have to bury her alive. Well, Della didn't know what was going on. Every time that dirt hit her in the back, she'd just shake it off like that and stomp it down under her feet like that. He was out there half the day throwing that dirt in. Don't get ahead of me now. And throwing that dirt in her on top. Every time that dirt had come down there, he'd shake it off like that and he'd stomp it down under her feet like that. After that farmer had been out there about 5 or 6 hours, here comes Della walking out of that hole. Hey, you know what she did? Every time somebody threw dirt on her, she just shook it off and stomped it down like, why don't you do that? Listen, somebody, well, I tell you, you can't do that. I remember when God called me to preach, Brother Steve, somebody came to me and said, well, I just don't see you being a preacher. maybe you still don't. You maybe agree with them tonight. I said, I didn't know if I could preach. I knew what God had called me to do, and I could make an effort. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Somebody tells you can't do it. Listen, take God's word at face value. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can do what? You can try. Number two, tell yourself God can. Yep. Said number one, tell yourself you can. Number two, tell yourself God can. God can do what? God can do what needs to be done. When you step out in faith, how many of you know that God always responds to faith? How many of you know that real faith is always represented by action? Listen, faith is not just a feeling. Faith is that which causes you to move. Why don't we decide to move tonight? Tell yourself God can. Do you believe that? The same God that created the universe with the words of his mouth is my God and he's on my side. The same God who authored the greatest book ever written that has stood the test of the ages. Hey, that's my God tonight. I've got the same God that Moses had. Listen, I've got the same God that Abraham had. I've got the same God that David had. I've got the same God that Elijah had and that Elisha had. Hey, I've got the same God that Daniel had. I've got the same God that Peter had. Hey, it was my God that caused the Red Sea to be parted and 3 million Jews walked across on dry ground. Hey, that was my God. And that's your God tonight, unless you're a Buddhist. How many are saved now? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Hey, that's your God. You say, preacher, I'm not very much. You and I may not be very much, but our God's pretty special. Hey, our God can do anything. God can. God can. It was my God that caused fire to fall from heaven and consume the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and even licked up that water in the trench. Hey, it was my God that shut the mouth of hungry lions. It was my God that walked on top of the water. It was my God that helped a young shepherd boy kill a giant with a slingshot. Hey, that was my God. My God used the preaching of a rough cussing fisherman in order to see 3,000 people get saved and baptized and added to the church. Hey, my God's coming back on a white horse is going to conquer Satan and all of his forces. Oh, you say, preacher, you must be something else. I'm nothing, but my God is awful special, and that's your God tonight. You could do it if you try. Tell yourself, I can. I can try. I can try. Tell yourself, God can. God can. His hand is not waxed short. God is still able. He's not gotten senile. Oh, listen, I get tired sometimes, Brother Steve, of being around discouraged preachers and defeated preachers and those that want to discourage us. Listen, I know it's difficult times. It's always been difficult to get the gospel out. But God can. God can. I said, number one, tell yourself you can. Number two, tell yourself God can. Number three, do what you can. Are you with me? How many are ready to try? Are you ready to try? All right, I'm going to have to start over again. And do what you can. Before you can do all things, you've got to first do. Listen, if you want to see somebody saved, guess what you got to do? You got to get out your car and you got to go up to their house, or you got to find that person somewhere and you have to take your New Testament, or you got to get a gospel tract, or you got to come to the preacher and say, preacher, will you go with me? And I want to witness to my loved one. I've got a parent that's not saved. I've got a mother that's not saved. Hey, listen, why don't you make an effort? Do what you can. Yeah. Had a lady text me today. She just texted me this. She said, preacher, she said, Darwin's in heaven. Thank you so much for caring. Darwin has had cancer just eating through his body. I got to meet Darwin just about 3 months ago. His wife started coming to our church and just began to faithfully attend. She's a Christian. Darwin was not a Christian. And I went over to see her one time, and I got a chance to meet Darwin. She said, Darwin's not saved, but he's not open to the gospel. Very educated man, very, very educated man. He was a curator at many museums. He had done all sorts of things. Just had a lot of faith in science. I gave him the gospel plan as good, well as I could, Brother Steve, but he wouldn't get saved. I kept going back, and I kept going back every time. I didn't go every day. I didn't even go every week, but I went often back to see Darwin and try to witness to him again. Darwin had some questions. He knew he was dying. My dad was in town for my daughter's wedding about a month ago, and I took my dad over there to talk to Darwin. My dad was able to answer some of his questions about the flood and about different things that, when it came to science. About 3 weeks ago, about a month ago, Judy called me, his wife, and said, preacher, Darwin has something he wants to tell you. She put the phone up to his ear, and he said, preacher, he said, I asked Jesus Christ to save me. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying that to boast on me. And today, Darwin, she said, Darwin is with the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. I said, I would say, I'm sorry, Judy, but I'm not real sorry. He's in a better place. We'd have a lot of reason to be sorry if he would have died about 2 months ago. Oh, yeah. He's in heaven now. I'm going to tell you something. You know what Judy did? Judy said, I'm going to do what I can do. I'm going to start coming to church. I'd go over there to witness to Darwin and try to give him the gospel plan. And boy, I was being really kind. And he was always very kind to me. But boy, Judy, she was more pushy than I was. Judy would say, Darwin, you got to get saved. Darwin, you can't afford to put this off. Oh, listen to me. Why don't you decide to do that? Maybe somebody here tonight, you've got a loved one that's not saved. Why don't you decide to do what you can do? Begin to pray. Begin to witness. Come see your pastor. Ask him to come by. Find your Sunday school teacher. Ask him to come by. I was talking to Brother Steve before the service, and my older sister and younger brother both live there in Hammond, Indiana, and work at First Baptist Church, and the ministry's there. He's asking me about my family. I told him my older sister is married to a Spanish-speaking fellow. Let me tell you how I met him. One day we were having a
when I was a sophomore in college, we were having a big day on our buses. It was Carnival Sunday, and we were in division meeting, our bus meeting that we were all having together, and our bus division leader said, how many of you guys plan to have for the Carnival Sunday? It's supposed to be our big day of the year. And I never even had 100. I was kind of a new bus captain in that area, way up on the north side of Chicago near Evanston. And they were going around, and these other guys were giving big numbers. And he came to me, and he said, what are you going to have? I said, 200. He said, he didn't say 200. He said, wow. And that's impressive. I never even had 100. You know what I began to do? I began to work. I stuck my foot out there and stuck my foot in my mouth, maybe. And I began to work and I began to pray. Not everybody could do this when they were at college, but I didn't go to work several days that week. And I just went up to my bus route as soon as I got out of classes and began to visit and began to knock on doors. One of the doors I came to was under the L tracks, the L train tracks, way up by Toohey Avenue on the north side of Chicago. And a guy came to the door and I said, Would you like to come to church tomorrow? I spoke a little Spanish back then. They thought I spoke a lot. I just knew the same lines. I could say them real fast. Hola, mi nombre es Kevin. Yo voy a la primera iglesia Bautista de Hamanía. Nosotros tenemos autobús. Viene aquí un domingo. Yo quiero tu familia. Va a ser la iglesia conmigo. And I would say this stuff in Spanish, and they would think, well, you know a lot. So that way they don't hide from you. But I asked this guy, I said, would you come to church with me? And he just kind of smiled and shook his head and said, yeah, I'll come. I didn't know if he was serious or not. But I put him down on my list. Well, I was trying to have 200. That Sunday came, and we had three buses lined up that we were supposed to run. One of my bus drivers didn't show up. So I had two buses to run that day, but they were really, really, really big buses. And I had one worker that I'd got to help me on that day, and I put him on one bus, and I gave him a bunch of addresses. I said, go pick up over here, and I want to start over here. And started picking up all the buses, and my bus got full. I said, I got to go find Todd over here. He's got the other bus. See if he can help me pick it. He met me halfway and said, my bus is full. I said, what are we going to do, Todd? He said, I don't know. You're the captain. And I said, I don't know. I told this fella, I said, it was his first time to come to church. We met in front of his house. And I said, sir, would you mind driving your car? Do you have a car? He had a little Renault car. I said, would you mind driving your car to church? And when you do that, can I put some kids in your back seat? I shouldn't have done that, probably. But he just said, okay, and shook his head. I didn't tell him it was like 30 miles, you know, from the north side of Chicago down to church. I don't know what he thought following that bus. He came to church, first time he ever came to church. And that day we had 198 people come to church on my bus that day, and it was well over 200 counting the invisible church. And but we had a great day. But more importantly than that, so many people that I reached on that day ended up getting involved, including my brother-in-law, married my sister. You say, preacher, you must have been something else. I wish you could have seen me. I mean, look at me now. I used to, when I go to the bus routes in Chicago, I had two pairs of pants that I wore. One was electric blue, and the other was like electric green. Of course, that was in the 80s. And I had a tie I'd wear with fish hooks all over. I mean, I was really styling. You said, you must have been very persuasive. And I don't know if I was very anything, but I knew I could try. I could make an effort. I could do what I could do. You say, preacher, did you think you could have 200? I knew God could help me to have 200. I didn't know if I, but I had to be up there knocking on doors. Listen, God has to have a voice. God needs to have somebody go for him. Do what you can do. God called me to pastor the church. I was telling Brother Steve this too. I was talking with my wife. Long story. I won't get into all of it. But just out of the blue, somebody called from Valley Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona. I was on staff at the college. I was really happy, kind of settled in. They said, we're from the Polk Committee. Would you come and preach for our church, or candidate for our church? And I went to see my pastor. In a long series of events, I finally decided to go. I remember I got up on Sunday night before the service. They had all the adults, whoever wanted to come in there, to come and ask me questions. One fellow that was there, bless his heart, Leonard, and he's going to heaven now, but he kept asking me in different ways. He said, well, what makes you think you can pastor this church? And I didn't know how to answer that.
finally I said to him, I said, sir, I didn't know him. I said, sir, I don't know if I can pastor this church. But if God calls me here, I'm willing to come. And here's what I said. I said, I can work hard and I can love people. I don't know if I can build a church. By the way, it's not my job to build the church. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. He didn't say, you will build my church. He didn't say, I will build your church. He said, I will build my church. I don't know if I can build the church, but what I can do is I can try. I got there, my wife and I and our three kids, been 18 years ago, 18 and a half years ago now. I didn't ask many questions about the budget. That's probably not a great idea. I didn't ask him anything about the finances. I was just willing to come by faith. That's how simple I was. And I got there and I found out that they couldn't pay their mortgage. They couldn't, people were calling, threatening to foreclose on the property. They're going to repossess the grand piano. They're going to turn off the electric, cut off the phones. I walked into this. They didn't teach me all that in church ed. We ended up living with a deacon for almost 4 months. They didn't have anything. They couldn't pay me. And I'm not saying that for you to say what a great guy I am. I'm not a great anything. I went there in faith, and I began to knock on doors. I began to visit, and I started close to the church and worked my way out. And boy, I went there, and this was a mistake too, going to Arizona in July. They say Arizona is the hardest place to win souls because in the wintertime nobody wants to go to heaven. In the summertime nobody's scared of hell. It's about the way it is. I remember one time I went out to the van to get something out of the van in my bare feet when we were staying with this deacon and a lot of our stuff was still in the car. And the mistake was I made it across that blacktop to get to the car and then I wasn't brave enough to come back. My feet were on fire. I can feel the sympathy all over this place. I began to knock on doors and I began to pray, God, you've got to help me. I got to get somebody in the church and maybe that somebody will come. Maybe they'll have a wallet in their pocket. Maybe there'll be some money in that wallet. Maybe they'll open their wallet and put some money in the offering. I didn't have any way to pay all those bills. But what I could do was try. After about 4 months, we took an offering. At Thanksgiving time, we were able to get caught up. No, we didn't pay all our bills, but we were able to get caught up on everything else. You say, what you've been doing for 18 and a half years? Trying. I've been making an effort. I have to tell myself I can. I can. I've got to tell myself God can. God can. God can. And God still can in 2016. Listen, I know what it's like in our country. 2.7 million people, they say, in America walk away from church every year. That used to be active in church, no longer active in church. Hey, listen, I know what all those figures say, but God can. Listen, God can build his church, and God can use you. And then I've got to decide to do what I can do. I don't sit around the house just feeling sorry for myself all the time. Do what you can. Do what you can. You say, well, I just can't cook like so-and-so. Give it a try. Man, when we got married, my wife could... She could make ice cubes and macaroni and cheese. No, I'm just kidding. Don't tell her that. And why don't you try? Then lastly, do what God says you can. Do what God says you can. Number one, I said, go home and look in the mirror and tell yourself you can. Say that. I can. Say it. I can. Number two, tell yourself God can. Say that. You can surely say that. Say that again with me. Ready? God can. Number three, do what you can. Say that. Do what you can. Do what you can do. And number four, do what God says you can do. And God called me to preach. I know. You've heard all kinds of preachers. I have too. I was the most shy kid. And they might have been lying. I don't know. But I'm telling you the truth. I was shy. I remember one time when I was in junior high. Our junior high youth pastor, he had all the junior hires up there at First Baptist, and there was a bunch in this room, and he got up and read that verse, and I came to hate that verse. You know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and, you know, whoever's not ashamed, you know, get up and say something about God. And I knew he was going to call on me. There had to be over 100 junior hires in there.
It's a Sunday night before church, and I'm sitting as low as I can. I was small anyway. And sure enough, our youth pastor said, Kevin Callen, come up here and tell. That's the last thing in the world I want to do, Brother Steve. I remember I went up there and I began to stammer and stutter. My face got all red. My ears got all red. I was embarrassed. It was my pride. Remember I went to church that night. Still was embarrassed and my pride was hurt. Sat down in the pew next to my dad. I put my head down in there and I was angry. I was angry. God, why would you do this to me? Why would you embarrass me like this? I can't preach. I can't get up in front of anybody. I can't even testify. That's the way I was. I was scared to death. I didn't even ask anybody out in high school. Any of the girls, or we didn't really date in high school. Brother Hiles didn't want that anyway. But when I got to college, I was scared to ask girls out in college. Now they all want to go out with me. I was scared to death. I really was. I was scared to approach somebody, shy as could be. And I remember my freshman year of college, I was ushering in pastor school at First Baptist Church, and I sat way, way back. It was Brother Howe's left, way, way back in this corner. Brother Howe's preached a message on this kind. I remember he began to preach about this kind of miracle that God can do in your life. This kind of answer to prayer. Boy, God began to burn something down inside my heart. Brother House gave the invitation time, and I walked down the aisle, and I came as close as I could, and I really couldn't get very close, and I don't know if any of you were there, but the aisles were so filled. Preachers on their face, and people from all over the country were there praying and crying out to God. I don't know what every other decision was that night. They didn't read them all. But I know God did something in the heart of this 18-year-old boy. God called me to pastor. God called me to preach. Listen, I didn't get up there feeling like the angel's wings were all around me. Be honest with you, Brother Steve, when I got up from that and I knew what God had called me to do, the doubts began to come. I began to wonder, what in the world? Told my mom and dad about it. They didn't express shock or anything. Maybe they felt that way. I remember, like I said, somebody came to me and said, boy, I just don't see you being a preacher. I said, well, I don't see you being an encourager either. And so, what a blessing it was. But I knew what God had called me to do. And God had called me to preach. Listen, why don't you decide to do what God says you can do? If God has called you, listen, if God has called you to the mission field, you know what you need to do? You need to try. You need to step out in faith, get out of that boat, and try. God has called you to be a bus captain. You know what you need to do? You need to try. God may have called you to be a Sunday school teacher to serve. I don't know. Work through your pastor. Work through the staff that's here. But say, preacher, God has laid something on my heart. Oh, I want to invest in young people. I want to invest in teenagers. You got these new buses coming in. I'd sure like to help fill them up. I'd like to go out and knock doors and invite people to come to church. You say, well, I don't know if I can get that bus filled up. Nobody, you're not going to know that ahead of time. You've got to follow, do what God tells you to do, and step out in faith. Yeah. I can do all things through Christ, but first I must do. Yeah. I don't know what it is that God's calling you to do. Maybe to play the piano. You say, well, I don't know if I can play the piano. You might have to take a lot of lessons, but you got to start somewhere. What is it? Where's Nick at? Nick, you here tonight? Where's Nick? There you are. You told me before at the basketball game that you date the pianist at church. I seen a guy sitting over there. Is that what you told me? I'm looking over there. Surely not that, Nick. How many standards here at this church? Just in, yeah, Long Beach, California. I guess that's how it goes. I don't know what God's calling you to do. God may be calling you to sing in the choir. Now, God's not calling some of you to sing in the choir, all right? God may be calling some of you to step out and maybe help out with the special music here at church.
Say, what am I going to do? You got to try. Tell yourself you can. Tell yourself God can. Do what you can do, and then do what God says you can do.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what God's calling you to do. But I know this. If your church is anything like our church, we need servants. Yes. We need volunteers. We need people that will say, well, I don't know. I've never done this before. But I want to give it a shot. Why don't you try? Why don't you decide tonight to step out in faith and try? If you do that, there's no telling what God would do in your life. Father, we love you tonight.